Good evening and welcome once again to Cornerstone Church Bible Study online here in Singapore. This evening we're going to continue looking at this series on mind problems. We want to look this evening at an area that worries us as we get older and when we are old, and that is the effects of aging. And many old people feel discouraged, depressed, disappointment with the limitations that come with aging, and some feel almost useless, that God hath forsaken them. Well, I hope that the Bible can answer some of those concerns this evening. We're going to read Psalm 71. It's really a psalm for the aged, although there are many lessons for us all to learn from it, whatever age we are. But Psalm 71 has often been used to encourage older people as they decline physically with age. I'm just going to read Psalm 71. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." If we could just pause at verse 6 for a second. The psalmist reveals how God is with him from the very earliest days of life. He's with him in the womb, with him as he's growing up as a teenager. But then he goes on to say, "I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and my comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." Amen. What a psalm. What wonderful promises, what wonderful statements of how God was with the psalmist all the way through life. And even in his old age, he says, when he's old and grey-headed, God hath not forsaken him, and God hath used him to speak to other generations of the greatness and the power of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee as we read thy word. We get encouragement from you, not from ourselves. As we look to thee this evening, we ask that you would come and minister thy grace into each and every heart. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, when you are young, and I wish I could count myself in that category, life seems to pass very slow. But the older we get, it seems to pass so much faster than before. And it doesn't seem very long ago that we were young and healthy and energetic. And now all those things seem to be slowly disappearing from us. Moses, when he was an old man, reflected on how fast life passes. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, he points out, "It is soon cut off and we fly away." That's how life is. He says it just comes and goes. And Moses lived a very long life relative to many of our lives, 120 years of age. James, in his little epistle, uses the metaphor of a puff of smoke or steam that appears, he says, for a little time. He says, "What is your life?" In James 4:14, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." He says, that's just how life goes. Comes in and ends, just like that. One of the things that we as humans don't like to think about is getting old. Because in our minds, growing old is a negative thing. And we even have this term, ageism, that's become popular today to describe things or people that think negatively about old age or those who are older. And many people use all kinds of techniques and treatments and potions and creams and all kinds of artificial stimulants to try and delay the aging process or to try and hide the aging process. But the reality is, there is no fountain of youth. The reality is, Peter Pan is just a fairy story. Everybody gets older. We may age to a degree faster or less fast than others, but we're all heading in the same direction. The old hymn writer, Mr. Light, put it so well in his famous hymn, "Abide with Me." "Change and decay and all around I see," he said. Well, here's the question. Why do we get older? Is it simply genetics? Is it simply the environment? Too much sunshine or not enough sunshine? Is it dietary issues? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. It's not found in any of those things. They may speed it up or slow it down to a certain degree, at least in the outward appearance. But the reason we all get older, age, physically and mentally even decline as we get older, is because of one little thing called sin. Man was not created to age. Adam and Eve didn't feel the effects of age when they were first created. But because of sin, sin brought death, and preceding death, it brought in this aging and declining of the human body. And because you and I sin in thought and word and deed, we're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and because we live lives that sin in word and thought and deed on a daily basis, God doesn't owe us health or strength. God doesn't owe us to delay aging in our bodies. Job's wife had to learn that lesson in Job chapter 2, when he had to give her a sharp rebuke when she complained that his health had broken down. And he had to tell her that the right to have good health is a mercy of God. It's a grace of God. We don't deserve it. And he told her that she speaks like the foolish woman speaks, he says, as if there's no God. And he says, "Shall we not receive good from God, but also shall we not also receive evil?" he told her. God has the right. He doesn't owe us good health. He doesn't owe us the ability to look graceful and young and vigorous all the time. And growing old is never a pleasant thing for most people. It's something we resist. It's something we don't like to be reminded of. Because growing old brings limitations, and those physical and mental limitations can be very frustrating. For example, if you're a person who lives a very active life, and physically you're out and about every day, to be confined to a wheelchair, to be confined to be able only to walk short distances, that's very frustrating for a person like that. And it's easy to become discouraged, depressed even. And of course, our society, the world around us, it feeds that discouragement by always promoting youth and energy and promoting youth and health in a very positive light, whereas it implies directly or indirectly that those who are older, who have declining health, are a burden, are not attractive, are some who are incapable to be useful in society. And many older Christians even can pick up on that and begin to feel discouraged and useless, begin to fear loneliness. And as they see friends, contemporaries pass on or get very old, that can discourage them. They have anxieties about the loss of their own independence, about becoming burdens on their families, fear of ill health itself. And of course, the greatest fear of all, the greatest enemy of all, death to deal with. And many old people can become very discouraged, even Christians, very depressed and downhearted about the situation. And in Psalm 71, verse 9, you get a sense that the psalmist, if it was King David who wrote this, well, we know David did get old at the end of his life. He was only 70, but he was a very old man. He had aged particularly quickly. The Bible tells us he couldn't generate heat, and he was physically so frail that he couldn't go out to battle. And he needed to be wrapped up very tightly just to generate heat in his body. He was a man who suffered physically at the end of his life. And that wasn't David as a young man. He was strong and vigorous. He led from the front. He faced the giants. He faced the bear, the lion, directly. He was a man, a very handsome man, a very energetic, a very able administrator, brilliant communicator. A man who could handle a harp, who could sing well, who had poetic gifts. He really was a man of great energy and ability. But as he came to the end of life, many of those faculties and talents and abilities declined greatly in David. And David would have had a sense of seeing all of those things, that his enemies were watching him. And if this is David's psalm, he says in verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." The psalmist really felt that fear, even as a believer, that he could feel so alone in this old age. Well, the good news this evening is this: the Bible has much comfort and instruction for those who grow old. The golden years can be golden if we grow old with God. And there are a number of key things, just three things I'm going to choose, but there are these three very important things I want you to notice this evening about growing old. The first thing is this: God has an interest in older people. God has an interest in older people. Now, I said earlier, society seems to have an interest only in youth, in promoting youth, and advertising youth. And it seems to ignore those who are older. In fact, despise those who are older. But the Bible makes it clear God has a very special interest in old people, and God speaks much about them in the Word of God. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 32, when the nation of Israel was given a legal system, a civil and criminal and ceremonial system by God, God specifically commanded the nation of Israel, the people of God, to honor the old people. And he says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," the gray or the one who's grown old, "and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." He just reminds him, "I'm God, I'm watching. And I expect you to take care of the older generation and respect them and honor them." Now, any society that honors those who are elderly and aged will be a society that prospers, because there are special blessings and lessons that come with having older people in your society, in your church, in your family. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now, of course, some old people grow old, and they grow just even more foolish as they grow old. They grow up as teenagers as fools. They live life as fools, and they come to the end of life as even greater fools. Well, that's not what the blessing is here. This blessing comes when a man or a woman grows old with God, grows in righteousness as they go through life. And he says a person who does that has great glory, has great blessing from the Lord, because there are certain very valuable lessons that are really only learned with experience and age. Now, not everybody learns them, but generally they're only learned by the passing of time. For example, we generally learn wisdom, patience, meekness, self-control over the years. We generally learn to discern as we get older what are the really important things in life. We start to see the vanity of life and the vanity of certain people around us as we get older, as we make mistakes, as we learn by experience. The psalmist spoke of one precious lesson that he learned of the faithfulness of God as he got older. He said this in Psalm 37, verse 5, "I have been young, now I'm old." Wow. Here's the lesson. "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The psalmist says this: I've learned by my life here on earth from observing the workings of God among his people how faithful God is. We like to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," but only time reveals it in its greater lessons. And the psalmist says, as an old man, I look back and I can see how faithful God is, not just to me, but to so many others. That's a lesson, a blessing that comes with age. Proverbs 17, verse 9 speaks of a great blessing that comes by seeing a third generation emerge in your family, grandchildren. That's a wonderful blessing. And I know many grandparents who will testify of that, Christian grandparents, of what excitement and joy and blessing they have to see grandchildren emerge through their family. Of course, the greatest blessing of all, the greatest promise of all as we age, is to know that God is interested in us and God cares for us. In Isaiah 46, verse 3 to 4, we have a classical statement of the care God has for those who are older. It says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you, saith the Lord." What a wonderful passage of God's word. God says, "You think I took care of you when you're young to now abandon you? Do you think that Christ died just for young people?" No, God says, "My care is equally for the elderly, and the aged, and the infirm, as it is for the young and the healthy and the strong and the energetic." And he says, just as I took care of you when you're young, I can be trusted to take care of you. And you notice he uses very intimate terms here, very personal terms, in describing how he will carry them up. God says, "I'm with them. I'm watching them. And I'm not just watching them. I'm working to co-labor with them and to protect and provide for them." And God's promise to be with us throughout every stage of life is unbreakable. He says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Unbreakable promise. In fact, he promises to be with us right up to the very last moment of our life. In Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? He says, "For thou art with me. Thou art with me. And the rod and thy staff, it comforts me." Our great Creator knows all about our weaknesses. Knows all about our physical weaknesses. He knows all about our limitations as we grow older. And He has ordained, this is the important point, that our bodies physically decline as we age. He knows all about that. And He has chosen that to be the path that we must walk. And He can be trusted to care for us in every stage of our lives. Of course, just as God has an interest in the care of the elderly and the older people, so must we, as a church and as Christians. I love the story in 1 Samuel 22 of how King David, under enormous pressure from Saul, on the run for his life as a fugitive, with all the difficulties in trying to discipline and manage the gang of men that were with him and their wives and children, and to survive day by day, not knowing where they were going to be the next day, that David took the time, recognizing his elderly parents couldn't live a life like that. A life that was almost like Robin Hood running through the forest. And David took time to go down to Moab and there hand over his parents really into the care of the Moabites and asking him to look after them while David had to sort out this problem with Saul. And David assured them, "I'll come again when God gives me the freedom. God deals with this situation that I'm going through right now. It won't last forever." And he says, "You take care of them until I come back." David wasn't abandoning his parents into some nursing home and never thinking about them again. He makes it clear, "I'm just leaving them with you until I'm given permission from the Lord to go back to a normal life." But then the second thing we have to learn this evening is this, and very, very briefly, God not only cares about old people, but God can use older people. You know, our society says when you reach a certain age, you're useless. Whether it's 60, used to be 62, then it was 65, and some say 68, some say 70, some say 75. Well, whatever age society chooses, it's an arbitrary number. It's not found in the Bible that once you reach a certain age, you're useless. But society has this impression. And even those who reach that age have that impression. They say, "Well, my life is worthless after I turn 60 or 65 or whatever age." And God doesn't just care about old people. The Bible makes it clear that God has a special place in His work for old people. In Psalm 92, verse 14, He says this, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish." God says there's spiritual blessings that will come through the life of an older person. They will still be able to do things for me. Might be in a slightly different way than when they were younger, but they'd still be able to function and to be faithful in the work of God. And as we read the scriptures, we discover some amazing examples of that. We think of Moses and Aaron, who both served the Lord right up to the age of about 120. In Moses' case, he was 120. In Aaron's case, he was slightly older. Both served faithfully right to their dying day. Joshua did the same. Caleb, as an elderly man, said to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 14, he said to Joshua, give me permission to go and seize this mountain against these Anakim giants. And of course, we know the story, how the old man Caleb went out and fought against the giants and took the mountain for God and for the glory of God. We think of the parents of John the Baptist, old aged Zacharias, in that temple, serving the Lord faithfully. We think of Anna, the aged prophetess. We think of the old man Simeon in the temple in Luke's Gospel chapter 3, of how they were still serving the Lord, faithful to the end. God had a special place and a purpose for them. We think in history of J.C. Ryle, who became the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool, at the age of 63, and for the next 20 years in the 19th century served there. We think of George Mueller, the great man of faith who took care of the orphans. And we often think of Mueller's life simply in terms of him leading the orphanages. But at age 70, he handed over the care of the orphanages to others. And for the next 17 years, from 70 to 87 years of age, George Mueller spent the rest of his life going around the world, preaching, taking missionary rallies, doing evangelistic rallies, preaching to the saints, encouraging the people of God. So God has a special purpose and plan for all people. Now, the Apostle Paul refers to some of that in his writings to Titus. I love that little verse, or a couple of verses in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. He speaks to the older women. Paul pauses because he knows the older women in particular, their children grow up and leave home. Maybe they were full-time mothers and housekeepers before. And suddenly they feel, what have I got to do with my life? And many women of that generation, even Christians, they tend to be discouraged, depressed. Others get involved in all things they shouldn't get involved in, become gossips and troublemakers, try to intervene, become busybodies in other family members' lives, maybe clash with daughters-in-law or sons-in-law and other extended family members. And Paul, recognizing that danger, he wrote in the book of Titus a little word of instruction, a little message to them. And he says this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. He says, watch your life, watch your testimony. Don't let yourself go now, just because the kids have flown the nest. He says, not false accusers. Don't get into this, going around spreading slanderous gossip about other people. Given to much wine, keep away from the booze. Teachers of good things. He says, there are to be women who teach by their example good things to others. And then one of the things that he says that they must do, a role that they must play, a very important role, he says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, holy, that means, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So Paul says, the elderly women in the church, there's a very important role for you to play. By your example to others, but also by your instruction to others. There are things that you can share with women, other younger women, that maybe a man couldn't do, maybe their husband couldn't do, that you could go to them if you see that they have a problem and help them out, not as a gossiper or a troublemaker, but as a blessing, as a shoulder to cry on, as a confidant, as a helper, in whatever capacity you can find. And Paul says that's a very important role for the older women in the work of God. But then, thirdly and finally, let me point out this. Not only does God, can God use, can and will use older people, but a very important point to note is this. God can use an older person in a different way than a younger person. Now, we've already touched on some of that earlier. And this is a little bit difficult for people to accept when they get older, that God has a different purpose and plan for older folk, in many cases, than for younger folk, in many cases. But the Bible makes it very clear that every season of our life is ordained by God. The sovereignty of God is all over the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. And in passages like Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, God hath made everything beautiful in his time, all the seasons of life, a time to laugh, a time to mourn. He describes a time of birth, but also a time of death. But all the experiences in between. And Solomon points out in the book of Ecclesiastes, all these things God hath made beautiful, he says, in his time. They're all part of God's purpose and plan. And you and I are not always young. But on the other hand, we're not always old. There'll be a time to be young. There'll be a time to be middle-aged. And if God spares us, there'll be a time to be elderly. And all of those seasons are under God's sovereignty, His sovereign appointment for us. And when God makes us, or created us, in the womb, it's very interesting to note, and sometimes we overlook this, when we are born, and when we are in the womb, we're almost wholly dependent on other people, our parents in particular. But then as the infant becomes a child, and then a teenager, and then an adult, that individual becomes much less dependent on others. But then as the person gets old and sometimes very elderly, weak and frail, they need others more and more. And they grow to depend more and more on others. And all of these things are not a surprise to God. All of these things God has ordained, chosen a path for us to walk. And the reality is that aging leads to a decline of our physical abilities, often accompanied with a decline in our mental faculties. We became slightly slower in processing information. Sometimes we become confused more easily. Sometimes we forget things more easily. And we may have to curtail that result. The fact of that is a reality that has to be recognized and faced. And that means that when we get older, there are certain things we just can't do. We have to accept that. We can't run around the same way. We can't go to all the places we did when we were younger. We may have to give up even driving a car because of old age. We may have to stop going on long journeys because of old age. We may have to limit our diet, limit our choices in many different areas because of the declining faculties of the mind and of the body. I think it's very interesting that Samuel must have recognized that in himself, because when we meet Samuel in 1 Samuel at the beginning, he's just a boy, full of energy. And the old man Eli is in the temple, nearly 100 years of age, or the tabernacle as it was then. And Samuel, the little boy, is running around doing all these dirty jobs, cleaning up, assisting Eli. And no doubt as he looked at the old man, he never realized that one day it would be him, would be an old man like Eli. But as Samuel got old, he noticed that clearly that he wasn't able to do everything he did when he was younger. And he did that great circuit of going around the nation from place to place. And we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Somewhere along the line, Samuel recognized, I can't do what I did in the past. I'm not physically capable of it anymore. Maybe mentally I'm not capable of it anymore. And he started to hand over power and duties to others. Of course, sad to say, those he handed over the duties, his sons, were not honest people. Let him down, brought shame to his testimony and to his family's name. But changing our habits and our practices as we get older, it's not meant to be a shameful thing. It's not meant to be an embarrassing thing. It doesn't make our life meaningless. Just as God has a plan for us when we're old, so he has a plan for us when we are young. And to reject that is to reject the clear teaching of God's word. A sovereign God has a purpose and plan for each of his children through every stage. In fact, every moment of every stage in life. And all of us must continue to do what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 11, to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, wherever he puts us. We're to just continue on living that way. And our golden years can be golden if we truly grow old with God. Now, you and I have a choice to make. You can grow old gracefully, or you can grow old ungracefully. There are people who grow old gracefully, but sadly there are people who grow old ungracefully. They become bitter, and twisted, contentious. They become grumblers. they become extremely frustrated people, lash out at those around them. But whether we grow old gracefully or ungracefully, we have to recognize this. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that you make, whether you do one way or the other. But every day when you get up, as you age, one of the greatest comforts to remind yourself is this, that as this physical body declines, decays, and even our mental faculties decline and decay, remind yourself of this great truth. What you see here is not what it will end up being. Because the Bible promises one day we will put off this body with all of its frailties, all of its declensions, all of its failures. We'll put on a new body. And we will have a body like unto the body of the resurrected, glorified Christ. John tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4. He says, one day God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Often pain comes with aging because of the physical pain of various ailments and diseases and limitations. But John says, it's all going away. Every day you get up, remind yourself of this. The decline that you see in yourself is not permanent. It's not permanent. Sometimes doctors say that. Well, this limitation on you, it's permanent. It's not permanent. It's temporary. Your declining eyesight is temporary. The arthritis is temporary. The heart problems are temporary. The dementia is temporary. Because one day, it'll all be made right. One day, the grave, you will pass through into God's eternity. And as you do, aging, you'll discover, was simply the path to glory. The path to a glorified body, which has no pain, no suffering, no aging. So there is a great future. And you and I can say, as we look towards the end of our lives, it is well with my soul. God has a very special place for young people in his kingdom. But also, God has a very special place and purpose for older people in his kingdom. And all of us need to embrace those truths. And all of us need to seek to walk in harmony with them. We are where we are. We're not going backwards. We're all heading forwards. But we're all heading forwards together to that great celestial kingdom. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee that the aging process doesn't have to become wearisome, doesn't have to become bitter, doesn't have to become a time where we feel useless and helpless, and feel that God has forsaken us. But like the psalmist said, he is with us. And he teaches us precious lessons when we're young, and but also when we're old. Lord, we pray that we would recognize all of these things and seek to live for you in whatever period of life that we find ourselves in, whether as young, middle age, or even an old age. May we all seek to live for the glory of God. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.